Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right. Excellent. First of our two preview shows with some storied drag queens. So in honor of that, I am going to be dragging some queens. First, Boadicea, Trash. Second, Victoria, Snooze. Third, Cleopatra, Slag. Okay. Derek Rowland.
And welcome to another Sashay Away episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, home of the 2018 Minnesota Twins. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the 2018 Minnesota Twins, I guess also the home of the 2019 Minnesota Twins. And maybe
nope. Are they all still here?
Only 2018.
Only?
I have a baseball on my desk signed by the entirety of the 2018 Twins, a team that was not very good.
No,
but it does happen to be signed by three baseball Hall of Famers, just kind of fun facts. Because the manager was Paul Molitor, who's in the Hall, and then Joe Mauer, who just got elected, and the other one. Yeah,
cool. You do realize this is a Eurovision podcast, right?
Yeah, is this a baseball podcast now?
Please, I won't be able to hold up my end of the bargain with this.
Okay, no, it's
all right,
fine.
Sam. Let them know where they can hit us up with their baseball questions.
Who's your favorite member of the 2018 Twins?
And why is it that guy? All right,
why is it Eduardo Escobar?
You can find us on all the standard social media outlets and some of the substandard ones as well. At 12 Points USA, you know, you've heard the spiel before. You know where to find us. Just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. You can check out some of our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you could also support us via a monthly contribution on Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we love you. We appreciate you. We are grateful for you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Like what we just did when the running orders dropped, we had a little reaction piece that we put up on our Patreon. So if you're interested in sort of super secret information, we got that there. So it's not just the four of us, as per usual on these preview episodes. We welcome back a familiar face, a familiar voice, Olympia Avalanche. Welcome.
Hi, 12 Points, you gosh darn professionals.
Oh,
how's everyone doing?
Yes. Oh, check is in the back.
Professionals.
Already starting off with a lie.
I know, right? How are you? Welcome.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. This is the, what is it, the third time now? Third year, maybe, in a row. Just keep coming back. Can't get rid.
I mean, you give us ratings, so F it. Welcome.
that's good to know. It's good to know I'm doing my part.
I mean, you and Nova, who we'll have on our next episode, even just to say we're not playing favorites here, just...
We just happened to,
you know, whoever drew the short straw of talking to us earlier in the day, I guess. You two have been really kind of upping your coverage of Eurovision this year on your channel. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience, what you guys have been doing?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've covered Eurovision now for, I don't even know how many, like 8 years, but it's always been just little videos here and there. And then, yeah, this year is the first year we've decided to do individual reactions for every song, which may have been an error on our part because it's just been... I mean, yeah, some great reactions, some not great reactions. I just wonder how, you know, like you guys and people who are just doing Eurovision stuff can put up with just some of the torrents of abuse that come your way if you don't like a country song, which is probably more than I had bargained for. But it's been, it's been fun. It's been an adventure. I'm sure this is it from now on. It's probably going to be the same every year.
I mean, you also on your... On your Discord, you also have a pretty active Eurovision discussion kind of going on with your membership there. So it's not like it's new ground for you to be discussing Eurovision, to really be kind of honing in on that audience. It's just in a kind of a different medium than you're used to, I suppose.
Yeah, putting it on our channel, because our channel is mostly, I mean, it's mostly just garbage. You don't necessarily need to check it out. But yeah, we're not known primarily for Eurovision, but I don't know, this year it just felt like we every year it gets a little bit more and a little bit more, and then, you know, we're diving right in this time. Yeah, I probably wouldn't necessarily go in the Discord either, to be honest, unless you've got like a real sharp focus, because there's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, I use this phrase a lot, but it's like drinking out of a fire hose. It's a lot, and so many. Yeah, but it's fun though. It's fun. The memes alone are definitely worth it. So
that's a glowing recommendation. I probably wouldn't say the same thing.
Well, you have to live in it. I just kind of...
I don't have to live in it.
So, I mean, we had the pleasure of actually meeting at least Derek, Eric, Liz and I had the absolute like joy of actually meeting you in person last year in Liverpool.
Yes, we did.
What was your Liverpool experience like?
Do you know the thing I just remember about that? Obviously, the meeting of, we've been speaking for a few years at that point, and the meet itself was incredible. But going to that restaurant where they had put up World Cup bunting with just, you know, the number of kind of African nations that were represented in Eurovision that year, I thought was just outstanding. It was a lot. It was trying to fit it because we had never been to a Eurovision before. Being a UK Eurovision fan, I'm sure you can appreciate that the idea of it ever being here was, you know, that's a pipe dream. So it was trying to fit in as much as possible. You want to try and soak up every experience that you can and get the most out of it. And I think we just about managed to do that. It's kind of a blur looking back. It was a lot. It was very intense, but it was like a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah. And for folks who aren't necessarily, who hadn't really been following you at the time, you have like sort of a retrospective of your Eurovision experience up on your YouTube channel. Is that right?
Yes, we do. Well, there's a whole vlog situation that you feature in, Samantha, having a lovely meal in that restaurant. Very dimly lit, though, that restaurant. You couldn't really see what was going on.
Yeah, I have no idea if it was actually you that I was chatting with or...
It was very strange, yeah.
Yeah. I do remember there were like meats on skewers.
Or who? Theresa May?
There were a lot of skewers in the dark, wasn't there? Yes.
Strange
experience that. I wouldn't change it for anything in the world.
And I also handed you a very large tote bag full of Minnesotan groceries. So
yes, yeah. There was mead involved. The honey mead. That didn't last very long.
Well, next time we meet up, I'll have to make sure to get you another bottle or two. So
that would be appreciated.
Of course, of course.
I'm desperate.
So why don't we just hop into the songs here? We have our standard number of six coming up in this episode. Ireland, Serbia, Poland, Malta, and Belgium. But we will start off with this year's host nation. Ironically, not actually Swedish artists, but close enough. They're representing Sweden. So, you know, fill in the flag that you wish. Let us talk about Marcus and Martinus, Unforgettable for Sweden. Derek, let's hear a clip.
She's unforgettable.
All right, so that was a little piece of Unforgettable by Marcus and Martinus, twin brothers from Norway, as I've mentioned, but like the part of Norway, it's very, very close to the Swedish border. They are 22 years old, which makes me feel ancient. They were 2012's winners of Melody Grand Prix Junior, so not quite Junior Eurovision, but very much a sort of similar vibe. It's Norway only. Since their first CD was dropped, they have constantly and consistently popped up on the Swedish charts, as well as having Norwegian success. They were the winners of the Masked Singer Sweden in 2022 and took second place in Melfest last year with the song Air, which I know that Eric, you are a fan of. They also had the very, not dubious, but certainly notable distinction. They will be opening up the grand final. So that's a heck of a way to start. Speaking of a heck of a way to start, Olympia.
That was a lovely way of doing that.
Yeah.
It was good. Golf clap for that.
Thanks. I'll take it. So why don't you start us off and kick this door down? What are your thoughts on Unforgettable for Sweden?
I think that, you know, that these artists, there's a few examples this year where they've come back with another go around from maybe trying to go to Eurovision last year. And the song just seems like a kind of inferior version of what could have been. I think in terms of them opening the grand final for Sweden, it's very almost celebratory in the sense of we're Sweden, we are the best, and we do this like at such a polished level. So look at what we can do. In terms of the staging, certainly, I feel like it might just end up being kind of like a copy and paste from Mello. But it's good. Like, it's good. Visually, it's incredible. It's like a technical feat. It looks like a music video. It's very, very polished. You know, they are singing it well. It's not like the hardest song to sing, but they're singing it well. It's a very nice kind of package overall. But it's just not... I think there's a few songs this year where it's... You hear it on the radio. Oh, lovely. I'm going to... sort of bop along to it. It's very easy on the ears, but it's not, I mean, I'm not listening to this song. I appreciate it's kind of a throwback. There's some, you know, it's a bit faithless. There's some kind of early noughties sort of elements going on with it. There's a bit of an NSYNC kind of edge, but it's not, I mean, I'm not listening to, it doesn't really do anything for me. It just feels kind of like a send them out to pasture, like May Muller for the UK last year, where it was, we'll have a closing and it will be very celebratory and it's great for the show. But apart from that, it doesn't do a whole bunch for me, I'm afraid.
Mm. Man, I really did forget how wrong Olympia's opinions are. I really did.
Stop it. You don't like this vanilla bland custard, do you? That says a lot, I think.
Can't wait to be 6 for 6. All right, Eric.
Oh, you guys are going to be so disappointed in me.
You love it, don't you?
I wouldn't go quite that far. I know it's Sweden. I know this is what they do. I know they released the most cookie cutter, whatever. It works for me. It just does. This was one of the only songs at Melfest that I really liked. I feel like Melfest in general, we're not talking about Melfest really, but Melfest wasn't great. That's it. That's the tweet. But they're twins, like the 2018 Minnesota Twins.
I knew it.
Tony Oliva, that was the other Hall of Famer. Anyway, I'm done, I think. So it's just so well polished, and yeah, the staging is cool. The song sounds good. I dig the sort of the mostly instrumental chorus, and it's good. I enjoyed learning that that there's some belief that this song is about Clara Klingenström.
Really?
I think it's her that one of them is dating. Do I have the wrong Clara? I don't know.
Someone's been on Reddit.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, there's so many Claras, and I feel like, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's Clara Klingenström, Clara Hammerstrom, Clara.
Oh, it might be that one. I don't know.
I was like, yeah, Hoover in today, dog lady? I don't know.
Man, geez, big Clara glut over in the Scandies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotta keep an eye on that. Now, listen, it is a generic pop song. I think it's very well executed, and I enjoy them a lot, and I understand why people like it. And I think these two in particular are a really, really great act, Marcus and Flarkus, as we've decided that.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just, their names are too similar, so I made them better. Is where I'm at with it.
It's nice.
I don't know.
I'm Martinez.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. That's not bad either. No, it is. It is bad. I'm stalling for time because I don't have a ton to add. You know. So let's pass it to about how Sam doesn't like it.
I've said this before about songs, especially songs that are coming from Scandinavia and the Nordics. Sometimes they are done so quote unquote well and with such polish that it's hard to kind of grasp. It's so smooth that it just slips right out of my brain.
It's like clinically polished.
Yeah. Yeah. And granted, Sweden it's surgical, their precision when it comes to this. It's incredible. It's an industry there, and it's fine. But this is not something that engages me. I recognize that it's finely sung. It's well produced. The presentation is great, but I like something with a little bit more difficulty and a little bit more harshness and roughness. That I keep using the sort of metaphor of, you know, a mountain climber can't climb off a completely sheer cliff face. They need something to hold on to. They need some weird little handholds, and I need the roughness. There is such a thing for me as too polished, and I think this is it. It's fine as a host nation entry. I mean, if Sweden doesn't want to win again next year, I mean, I don't think that's why they picked it or why they, you know, didn't necessarily have the most competitive national final this year, but it's fine. It will get the crowd going. It'll be a nice high BPM start to the show. But as a competitive entry, it's just there. Danny, lay it on us.
Yeah, I really like it. It sort of has this, like, I'm going to start yet another war up in the Nordics by comparing this to Kuma, which some people would recognize as Finland's entry to OGAE last year. It sort of has that same hyper poppy, but also like kind of desolate, very, very minor key feel to it. I just go for it every time. These guys, I don't know, like watching the performances, these guys seem too young to be this good, or maybe that's just how it is. I definitely agree with like the NSYNC parallels. Like these two feel like they have been sort of created by a machine, like their talent was recognized, and then like all the corporations in Sweden and Norway were just like, we gotta get these kids, they're gonna make us billions. And then they will. It's really good. It is hyper polished. What I like about it better than actually the past few Swedish entries is that there's no aspirations to profound greatness here. There's something about Tattoo and Hold Me Closer that sort of have this sweep to them that's trying to convince you of their grandeur. There's no grandeur about this song except for the fact that it's basically a 2024 hyperpop version of Maneater. That's all this song is. And you know what? I can live with that. Take it, Derek. I'm not immune to the machine, but I know you are. You've gotten your vaccines.
I don't do idolatry. I'll just say that up front. I don't care where a song comes from. I don't care who's singing it either. I don't care who Loreen is. I don't understand what Sweden did to get all this accolades and, you know, benefit of the doubt year after year. I feel like it's a McDonald's hamburger. And you can tell me, no, this is from the good McDonald's. No, it's the same hamburger again. And you can serve it on Wedgwood China and tell me it's a filet mignon. And I'm like, no, this is a McDonald's hamburger again. And I just feel like they have one track and they just go down it every single year. It's always a love song. Most of the time it's a breakup song. The lyrics are always really generic and superficial. And yeah, it's staged and sung well, but I feel like if Cyprus had just kept sending Fuego songs, if you'd get sick of it, you'd be like, guys, do something else. But Sweden never gets that. They never get told, hey, you guys should try something else. It's like, okay, we've just accepted across the board that they can do this. And it's the most cynical country in the entire contest. They think they're the best. And there's no reason for them to send anything different.
I mean,
there's nothing here. I don't care what.
The array of nice opinions on this song is astounding.
This is why people tune
in. This is it. I'm glad we started.
Yeah, to find out that Danny's got the taste of a teenage girl and Sam likes it rough.
I mean, that's basically what you said, isn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, you know my feelings. You know my feelings on the Norwegian entry this year. Like you.
That's a good button on this segment. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. Before this gets any Ireland? Are we up for chatting about Ireland? Talking about a little bit of a change in pace
always.
Here.
Yeah. Always.
All right. So let's have a moment to talk about Doomsday Blue by Bambi Thug representing Ireland this year. Derek, roll a clip. All right, so that is a little snippet of Doomsday Blue from Bambi Thug representing Ireland. Talking, Derek, about countries that do the same thing year after year, this is a bit of a departure. Bambi is 31 years old from Macroom in County Cork, which I'm like 85% sure that Derek and I drove through when we did our road trip to Ireland a couple years ago.
If they're near the coast, then we definitely did.
it's between Killarney and Cork.
Oh, I gotta look this up now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'll do it while Eric is talking.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a small town halfway between Cork and Killarney. Lovely part of the country. They've released 3 EPs so far. Their most recent was dropped in October. They describe their sound as hyperpunk avant electropop or Ouija pop, blending a whole bunch of, you know, pop and industrial with Wiccan and pagan imagery. It's really quite fascinating. They will be performing in the first semifinal, sandwiched in between Lithuania and Ukraine. Eric, let's start off with you. What are your thoughts on Doomsday Blue?
Oh, where do I start? I'm so happy for Ireland. I'm so proud of them for sending the witch.
Send the witch, send the witch, send the witch.
It, for a while, it really looked like they were going to send another sort of a tune. Then they sent Bambi Thug, and it's great. This is so inventive, and it has like these bits of horror and terror, and then also fun. I think the music video did a really good job of kind of accentuating the two sides of this song, in the, you know, horror bathroom, which contains, I'll note. Oh, do you want to say? I'll wait.
I'm gonna.
Yeah, all right, yes. It contains something Sam will tell you about in a few short minutes. That, and then the sort of like fun, prancing in a field sort of thing, except it's still slightly off, and that's what I love about the song. I think is that it's just slightly off throughout the presentation. I'm really excited to see how this gets onto a very large stage. And how, you know, are they going to keep the little dance moves in the chorus, or are they going to do something else? Are they still going to have the weird, we'll say, horny dancers? What are they going to do? This is such a risk, such an extraordinary risk. And as we talked about in our Patreon thing, I think we're not entirely sure what's gonna happen with it. It's a very strong semi. It's surrounded by a lot of other big names and things like that, but gosh, this is great. I think I said this when it won the national final, my the thing that takes me out of it a little bit, maybe my least favorite thing about the track, is I am a little bit puzzled at an artist like this using a Harry Potter reference.
I don't believe it actually is, though. I think Nova may have even tweeted Bambi Thug and asked about this, and it's I can't remember what the answer was, but it predates. It was like an existing term, kind of
the Abadakadabra.
Yeah, and I believe J.K. Rowling just stole it, so it's not inherently.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, I don't think it actually is Harry Potter. It predates.
Okay, yeah, because I have seen references saying that this song is the first to use Aramaic text, and I haven't really seen that attributed yet. But I guess that Abadakadabra could have been that Aramaic phrase that has been.
Yeah, it may have been. I can't remember, but it's not completely tied to Harry Potter.
Okay, we're just familiar with it through.
Yeah, Novich just told me that it is Aramaic, so that's what it is.
Thank you, Nova.
Okay, well, that's that problem song. The song's perfect. Sam, what do you think?
So this is what I'm talking about when I. This is what I'm talking about when I like a song with a little bit of weirdness and roughness and some interest to it. It's multifaceted. It changes. It shifts. It challenges you. It makes you think. It's for some, it's going to scare the absolute pants off of people, and that's okay. It's better than the absolute milquetoast that Ireland has sent in the past, and that other songs are still sending, or other countries are still sending, I should say. This is, it's beautiful and it's scary and it's original. There's nothing like this in the contest, and I can't think of a time when there's ever been anything like this in the contest. So win or lose, Ireland has done an absolute blinder by putting this in the mix at all. Like we said, this is a highly competitive semifinal, and people are going to either love this or absolutely hate this and be terrified and go make themselves a cup of tea and, you know, rock themselves to comfort in the corner. I love it. And now that I know that I actually now have a personal connection to the music video, some of you may know that one of my very dear friends, Lisa Jane Lewis, was one of my bridesmaids at the wedding this past July. Was also a art assistant and helped out on the video for Doomsday Blue. And she actually kept the bridesmaid's bouquet and saved it, brought it back to the UK, which I'm not sure if that's against customs, but neither here nor there, and dried the flowers and was actually able to use some of my bridesmaid's bouquet in the bathtub scene. So when you see in the music video, the bathtub with the blue goo, some of those flowers came down the aisle with her at my wedding. So, you know, if you believe in, you know, good vibes being handed through objects, hopefully that brought a little bit of joy and love and positivity to Bambi. So
doomsday goo.
That is so cute. I can't get over that. Although, you know, if you believe her,
I mean, even if you don't, it's just, hey, those are my flowers. It just,
Yeah, that's a really nice thought if you don't live in a fairy tale.
Even though it hurts, I understand how divisive and off the wall this song is. That doesn't mean I don't love it. I do love it. And even if this doesn't qualify, I want Ireland to continue pushing the envelope like this and taking risks, because you're going to get a lot more excitement and reaction than just sending vanilla. Danny, take it.
So you know in the Fifth Element movie podcast how, like, in the future, you know, some of the most captivating art isn't hyper techno, like we always picture the future for some reason in movies, but instead it's sort of like a dance club version of the mad scene from Lucia di Lammermoor. Like, this is the kind of music that is like, it really convinces me that we're in the future. Like, this is so progressive. This is so off the wall. It's so not what you expect. The way that it goes from sort of that grungy industrial goth feel right into what seems like the kind of acoustic guitar jazz music they'll be playing in 2039. Like, it's the chord progressions in that more jazzy laid back breakdown. It's so strange. It's so unexpected. It works, but it's so unnerving. There's something really hypnotic about this song. I used to just sort of appreciate this song on an intellectual level and then just be like, but I would never listen to this. And yet, whenever I listen to it sort of to prep for a show like this or for, you know, once it came out, I'm just constantly entranced, can't turn away from it. It never becomes background noise. I'm always actively intrigued with it. It's not in my top five, but Lord, it's not in my bottom five. I hope that they're as good, like, live as they sound in the studio version. It's performing it live in that Ireland national final, quote unquote. The mix is not doing them any favors, but I just hope that we get something during the semifinal that is very flattering to this song. Derek.
Hey, everybody.
Oh no.
Hold on to your butts.
Oh no.
Why do you guys do this?
Derek just saying, I can't believe Ireland is still getting away with it.
It's just a hamburger.
How could they do this every year?
It's the same hamburger.
I feel like Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. Can't keep getting away with this. TV show podcast.
Okay. All right, Derek, lay it on us.
It's wild to go from Sweden to this, because it's like the passing of the baton, well, at least backwards, from the old Eurovision great to the new. And then we have something like this, and Ireland is just struggling to find an identity and send something that gets a foothold, as Sam would put it. And I feel like they've said good things in the past and just nothing. I mean, they've come dead last in the semi a few different times recently with songs that I would argue were not bad. With staging, again, not bad. And yet, it just wipes people's memories of it as soon as it's finished. And doesn't inspire them to pick up the phone and vote for it. And here we have the wildest swing of the entire year, I would argue. I think there's other wild swings in this contest, but man, when this came out, I was like, what the hell is this? It's just so insane and so provocative. And it just has my adoration for that regard. Even if the song was garbage, I would still be like, this is so respectable that they're sending this. There's layers to it. It's challenging, like, vocally and musically, lyrically. It's like, it's doing so much to make you uncomfortable and get you to pay attention to it in a sort of provocative modern art kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't know if it necessarily, sorry.
No, that I definitely agree. Everything right there. That's okay. 100%.
Waiting for the shoe to drop.
I worry about this one because musically, I don't know if it's something you'd seek out and listen to. I don't know if it's something that it's catchy and has a hook the way a traditional song would. Like, this isn't meant to be, hey, let's put this on and have dinner. This is meant to be like, no, you need to watch this and you need to pay attention to it. This requires full attention. And I get that. And this is a song contest, and it absolutely, this is the place for something like that. This isn't the place for, you know, song four on an album. I don't want them to get punished for this, but I can kind of see the interest sort of waning since the national final a little bit. I don't know if people are as excited or intrigued or surprised by it as they once were. And maybe that'll change when we actually see it on stage. And
yeah, once we get that staging, hopefully.
Yeah.
And remember, this song was selected in late January. So we've had other songs kind of come in and steal the thunder a little bit, at least among the fandom. Yes. So
it's like 3 years ago.
And those are so distinct worlds, the fandom and the general public, that it's so hard to predict. I don't want to take up too much time here, but please keep doing this, Ireland. Please keep taking wild swings. I would rather you take a wild swing and fail miserably than send something very safe and also fail miserably.
The Bambi thug must continue until morale improves.
Works for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I will, echo what I think everyone is basically saying. I think we all of us here kind of have a soft spot for Ireland. You know, I've mentioned this every single time I come here. I talk about my baby girl, Leslie Roy. I am dying for Ireland to qualify. And I really, really want them to qualify with Bambi Thug. But the asterisk on this, don't you give me that face. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Oh, I thought you were sighing.
No,
a butt that was about to.
No, it was a sigh about Leslie Roy. Pour it out once.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. Don't. I will not cry today. Not again.
Oh, no.
It just sonically, I just can't get on board with the song. It just
completely
irks
understand
me. It just irks me. And here's the thing,
it's
though.
So weird.
On paper, I should love everything about this. I think Bambi Thug, like this. Their style, the genre, the entire package is something that I should just be so into. And I really, really want to back it more than I kind of do. And my horror is that they're not going to qualify. I think the running spot they've been given is disastrous. I just don't, I think that it's going to be maybe too confrontational, too divisive. I don't know that they're going to be able to rein in the staging enough where it's not, I mean, this is purely based on the national final, but that was a lot. So I don't know if maybe people are just going to think it's kind of a bit much and a casual kind of listener is not going to pick up the phone. I mean, the UK is in the, has the ability to vote. So I think they're going to get a bit of help from us. But I just think it's going to be a shame because like we've all said, I mean, they're probably just not going to, they've taken a risk and it may not pay off for them and it would be such a shame. So I am backing Bambi Thug. I'm just not really listening to it. I will say I don't dislike it as much as I used to. And at first appeared, I was like, turn it off. Oh God, I just thought it was so irritating. Now I don't mind if it's on. I really, really appreciate it. And I just want to like it a bit more than I do. I'm afraid. Oh no. I just don't think they're going to qualify though, which is such a shame.
Have we all said our piece on Doomsday Blue? Yeah. All right. So let's. Oh.
My Doomsday Goo.
Ooh, love the Doomsday Goo. All right, so let's change the tempo completely and hop over to Serbia. Our next song is Teodor's Ramonda, which is a small type of flower. Derek, let's play a clip. All right, so that is a little snippet from Ramonda by Teodor, representing Serbia this year. She is a 31-year-old graduate of the Berklee College of Music. Last week, we mentioned Marina Santi having attended Berklee. Teodor was also an alum. So cool. Again, U.S. connection there. Her breakthrough hit, Janum, was released last year, and it made her the third Serbian artist to surpass 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify. The other two were Constructa and Luke Black. So she's the first one to do it without sort of riding the coattails of Eurovision to that. So she's done that on her own.
Oh,
okay. She is going to be second in the running order, I'm sorry to say, in semifinal number one, sandwiched between Cyprus and Lithuania. So total sawtooth when it comes to tempo changes there. I guess I'm the one to start us out, so I may as well just, you know, keep on rambling. I think this is absolutely gorgeous. It's sweeping and elegant, and it tells a story. Hopefully that story kind of translates because this is in Serbian, but it's elegant and it just kind of embraces me in this sort of warm yet sort of melancholy blanket of, I found it really, really interesting that in the national final, there was sort of a lot of back and forth between this song and another entry that was heavily favored by the public, but it was also highly nationalistic in a sense that it was really throwing shade at another population. I'm not going to get too deep into the politics of that there, but you can find it online.
Panamanians.
Oh, yeah. Those Serbians and those Panamanians, you know, head to head. Interestingly enough, though, Ramonda, the flower, has also a national connotation that's not too dissimilar from the usage of the poppy in the UK and the US and Canada and other places. So it still has a sentiment that kind of embraces a sort of patriotic identity without it being, without it punching out at anybody else. It's more of a symbol of resilience than it is of nationalism, which I thought was done very nicely.
Maybe like the Ukrainian sunflower, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Or the poppy for us. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Either way, it's beautiful. You know, we always kind of go, ooh, at second place in the running order. But it's so, but one, it's not the same statistic at the semifinal level as it is in the final level. And this is also so different from Cyprus before it and Lithuania afterwards. There's a contrast. This isn't going to get as lost. I think if they make sure that the staging is as evocative and as pretty and as heart swelling, I guess is the kind of best way I can describe it, as the national final and the music video are, I'm not super worried about this. There aren't that many ballads this year, and this could potentially do what Bridges did last year. Mm-hmm. Danny, what do you think?
I think it is at least going to equal what Bridges did last year. The amount of love for this song on, if the internet is to be believed, if the diehards can be gauged as any metric for Eurovision at large, this song has an enormous following, easily the biggest for any of the ballads this year, which are few and far between. I think the thing that is most impressive about this song, just straight up, I'm not in love with this song, but I appreciate it deeply. It's that kind of thing. You know, sometimes a song just doesn't, you know, strike the middle of the gong for you. And I at least understand what's going on with this song, that it is an extremely beautiful song. I think the thing that I like the most about it is that it is so beautiful without ever feeling gloopy or really, really sugary. And I think a lot of that is the fact that this song has a tremendous amount of restraint. When that chorus comes on and there's like a swell of music, but she's still only singing like mezzo forte, like it's a really classy way of allowing that swell of emotion to still sort of live in the music without going for the obvious. I'm not going to say that this song isn't extremely obvious, because like this song is also just a 3-minute ballad, you know, lamentatory kind of song, but it works. It really works on a poetic level. Take it, Derek.
So this one, I think I described this earlier as Molitva, like in that it feels very kind of traditional, very sort of a standard ballad in a year that is inviting a lot of wackiness. It follows the year that Finland did spectacularly well in the televote with a song that was completely out there and bizarre. And there's that sort of reaction. So everyone's kind of chasing that trend, and the song that just kind of does its own thing in a very earnest way still gets a lot of love and attention. I don't think this is going to win like Molitva did. I think like Bridges, it will enjoy a certain vote for being unique and like an oasis, as Eric would describe it, among all these just oddball.
The crowd of this year.
Yeah. I could see this doing exceptionally well with the juries. I could do it getting a very respectable televote and somehow ending up in the top 10. I do think it's really beautiful and very moving. I think it has a very sincere, there's nothing cynical or jokey about it. It's like, no, this is, we absolutely believe what we're saying. And it's,
or
and
like
it's done in a way.
Engineered. There's nothing artificial.
Yeah. It feels very human. We talk about AI written songs, like in San Marino, like you can tell a human being wrote this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I compare it to other songs, like 1944 kind of comes to mind. Like there's a theme of national pride and tragedy and regrowth, which I think is very beautiful. Not a lot to say about it beyond that, really. I think it's, you know, it's not breaking any new ground, but it's doing what it's doing very, very well. And it's very sincere. And I respect that.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what everyone has said, basically. I don't think you can argue that this is, it's beautiful. She sings it beautifully. We listen to it a lot in our house. It's one of my faves. I think there's like a cinematic quality to it. It can be very grand in places. It can be very kind of intimate in places, which I think will lend itself very, very well to staging and already kind of has. It's just very, very accessible. The story is very, very accessible. The message that, like Sam said, the kind of resilience of Serbs in like a post-war setting, it just all slots very, very nicely. And it's just gorgeous. Yeah, I don't know. The only thing is, though, when we saw her do it, and of course, you know, this is not outside of a competition setting, anything that anyone would ever comment on. But she just looks a lot like Lorraine did doing Tattoo. And I just think from a staging perspective, if people are fatigued by Sweden, if people are fatigued by Lorraine and what happened last year, that might kind of damage them slightly in terms of people picking up the phone. But yeah, I think it will do well. I think it will qualify easily. And there isn't a huge amount to kind of say about it because it's just good. It's just like, it's just beautiful. And we listen to it a lot. And I think it will do very, very well.
So the note from us as far as staging goes is, please stand up.
Stand up. Maybe just like get rid of the bang. Let's just like wear a nice tasteful hairband or something. Get rid of the bang. Get rid of the Mad Max leather.
Keep the nails short.
Keep the nails real short. I don't know. I think Denmark are also doing something similar in terms of staging. There's a lot of countries that want to be mindful about not just doing kind of like diet Tattoo.
I mean, who would have thought that people would have tried to be imitating the panini press?
I mean, yeah, but who doesn't love a panini? I'm very hungry. I'm actually quite hungry.
Same. Eric, what do you think? Do you like paninis?
Yeah.
That's not enough enthusiasm.
I think you people need to stop stealing my notes. Also, you look, this is a diversion, but I just realized panini press, right?
Mm. Yes.
And opening up. Mm-hmm. I just realized that Marcus and Flarkus is just that, but rotated 90 degrees.
Oh, I see. Well, they're inside of a toaster.
Ooh. Yeah.
Especially that
what
first
is it
little
with
bit.
Sweden comparing relationships to being trapped in a very confined space?
They're just very paranoid people.
Oh, excited to Finland. Stay at our house in Sweden. Anyway, there is really a lack of songs in this contest that are very pretty. And that sounds almost derogatory, but I mean it in a positive way. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous song. I don't have a ton to add, but I'll note that if there's one thing that concerns me about it a little bit in terms of it connecting with audiences is that it takes a while to get going. And I think as a song, I think that's a good characteristic of it. But there isn't anything resembling a chorus until about 90 seconds in. It's a little bit of a slow burn. And then when it does get there isn't a ton of huge like vocal acrobatic payoff. There is a bit at the end, but I don't think the song needs it. It's a subtle, understated song, and sometimes that doesn't connect with people in a song contest, you know? But at the same time, there's nothing like this. There's very little like this in the contest this year. And oh my goodness, it is just so pretty and so well executed. I think it's going to do just fine. Those are my only concerns. Great, great, great song. Really, really good pick out of that Serbian final, for sure.
Are we ready to roll on to our next song then?
Sure would. It's my favorite right. tarot card.
Yeah, yeah. So let's chat about the tower then. Here comes Luna from Poland. Derek, let's roll a clip. All right, so that was a little snippet from The Tower by Luna, representing Poland. She is 24 years old from Warsaw. Her full name is Aleksandra Katarzyna Wielgomasz. I think I'm pronouncing that right, but it's Polish, so I can never truly be sure. She's been writing and releasing music since 2018. She's got a studio album out and one additional EP. She's a relative newcomer, doesn't have a massive, massive footprint on the market yet, but she was selected by a semi-transparent internal selection done by the broadcaster this year, a narrow victory in that sort of selection. Again, it wasn't televised or anything like that, but people were very public about songs that were sent to the final, and they actually did come out with a score list after songs were selected to see where the top 24 or so kind of ended up in that. And Luna the Tower ended up getting sent. She will be in semifinal one, sandwiched in between Ukraine and Croatia. Just for context, Danny, what do you think about this one?
What a delicious sandwich that is going to be.
A very sort of Western Slavic.
Yeah. This song, before I put a value judgment on it, strikes me as the kind of thing that would have done absolute gangbusters on The Current back in 2013. For context, listeners, The Current is the public radio station based here in Minnesota, a branch of NPR that is like, because it's public radio, it doesn't cater to any like promotion or sponsorship. It has no exact bent to it, except it usually, you know, it tends towards indie and alternative artists, almost in the vein of college radio, but a little bit more towards the mainstream. This song reminds me so much of the kind of thing that like Borns was doing 10 years ago. Like if you would have told me that this song was like an early B-side from Churches, I don't think anyone would be surprised. Like this song passes for a certain strain of extremely popular American indie pop music in a way that just astounds me. To get to my value judgment, I love this song. This is one that I always love when it comes up in the rotation. This is so easy to listen to. It just feels so good. Poland has had some bad luck in past recent years. Poland is the kind of country that sends something a little bit different all the time. You're never quite sure what you're going to get from Poland. It might be this. It might be Light Me Up.
We don't talk about Light Me Up.
Yeah. Before we move to Derek, though, just because I could gush about this for a little bit, I have a sneaking suspicion I would put $10 down on this being this year's Snap. This might not qualify. This might be like 20th in the final if it does qualify, but I could easily see this crossing over.
Derek?
It's an interesting comparison. I would say this reminded me a lot of Grimes, and I understand that's kind of a loaded thing because of the whole...
Yeah, I'm not a Grimes listener.
Grimes is a lot of things too.
Yeah. Well, a lot more experimental and artsy, but like vocally, I kind of see it's just, that's where the reminder comes from. And I think the most interesting thing about this is the song itself is kind of straightforward, but her vocal work is so different and weird, but also very, like Danny said, sort of smooth and comforting and like melted butter. It's such an odd comparison. I really enjoy listening to this. And it kind of surprises me every time it comes up on Spotify and I hear it. I'm just like, oh, yeah, Poland. I kind of forget about it when it's not around. But when it's there, like, oh, yeah, I really enjoy it. Poland is an odd country. It feels like I don't know what to expect from them in terms of, like, what are they sending and what are they going to do in terms of score? It just seems like such a wild card. And this, to me, feels like a safer choice, but also very commercially viable. Like Danny said, if this did catch on, I mean, I think that'd be great. Yeah, I don't see this doing gangbusters at the contest, though, unfortunately. But damn, it's really nice.
Listen, I appreciate what Ava Max is doing. Sorry, Luna. No, that's not fair. I didn't say that. It's unfair. Do you know what?
Ava Max is a lot more loud and a lot more. The thing about this song is it's gay without being gay.
It's impressively gay. I don't know. I get Robin from it as well. There's so many different kind of like things people for are real. Taking from
that's
this,
for sure.
Which is very interesting to hear. Again, yeah, it is such an earworm. We listen to this all the time. It's gonna be in like a group of songs. I think the UK is doing something similar where it's just something easy to throw on. It's like radio friendly. X, Y, and Z. It's like a perfect version of what it is. I just don't see how this kind of song is ever competitive. It just feels a bit,
I mean, yeah, there is a bit of a dated element to it. I can't see it qualifying. I think that the running order is absolutely abysmal for Poland. To be in between Ukraine and Croatia is almost cruel, I think, at this point for them.
Yep, we've
seen a clip of Luna doing this live, and I don't know that it's quite, I don't know, what's the diplomatic way of saying it, where it needs to be? I don't know. I do think that they should have selected, and I wasn't a huge fan of this, but the Justina song that came second at the...
Witcher?
Witcher. Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of that. I love that she looks a bit like Kyle Richards from The Real Housewives. I found that quite amusing. But I think that would have done better. I think that has more bite to it. I think that would have been more visually interesting, and it would have been a smarter choice for them. I think this is just going to get kind of lost. I mean, I'll want to see it if she qualifies. I'll definitely want to see it, you know, in the semi. Because it's just so infectious. It's so catchy. It is so catchy. I just can't see that necessarily it's going to be something.
I mean, say it's going to get lost, but have you seen the second half of semifinal one? I think a lot of folks in the first half can thank their lucky stars.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this year is outrageous. It is so stacked. I think we're going to get to a point where people are going to qualify and there's going to be so many kind of surprises and question marks and who the hell knows. But I do kind of, I worry for her a bit.
I feel like we were saying the same thing about,
yeah, basically,
about Snap last year, you know, that we're like, this sounds dated. This sounds like the kind of junk you hear on Cities 97. But look what happened.
I recall
got on to Cities 97.
I recall, honestly, us thinking Snap was being underrated.
Yeah.
I still don't understand Snap. I don't understand what it was doing. And she was in that house, bless her, just trying to get out.
The house from Up.
Trapped in houses.
Just absolutely covered in post-it notes.
Yeah.
Paper cuts. Ugh.
Eric, what do you got?
I worry about how is this going to be elevated live to separate it from some of the other pop things. I agree with the Robin comparisons, or like an Ellie Goulding or something like that. I think this is really good. This is a lot better than some of the other just straightforward up-tempo pop songs that we have this year. I kind of have a hard time putting my finger on why. I'm glad I didn't have to go first on this, because I think some of the comparisons you've made to the more modern synthier pop music really makes a lot of sense. I think this is a lot more in that vein than the song that we're going to do next, actually. I have an actual question. Is that Sarah James in the video?
I didn't recognize her. I had seen Sarah James in the video, I probably would have been like, but
as in one of the dancers?
One of the chess players.
I don't recall.
Look, nobody's
If that were actually Sarah James, I wouldn't shut up about it, because
it probably isn't then. But
remember when she makes that chess move in the music video where she just pushes all of the chess pieces at the other side?
Is that perfectly legal?
That's how I play chess.
That's what we call a pro level move.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's the American offense.
It's the Belarusian push. Yeah, it's
having having a heated gaming moment. Speaking of, there's a great, you'll have to go back to when this song was released. There's an amazing Twitter thread discussing the chess play in the video how it's bad and everything. It's fantastic. You should seek that out. This is a great song with a brutal running order placement. And it really, I hope they do something like the Czechs have done the last few years, just something visual to really make it pop and stand out, because the song is really good. It deserves to be in the final. And I don't know if it's going to be able to get there, but God, this is a real riser for me in terms of personal rankings. So good. Samantha.
Yeah, my thoughts are not too dissimilar. I think it's a fine little pop song. It is catchy. There's that sort of delicate nature and that sort of lilt in her voice. I think it is one of my favorite music videos of this year. I love the visual aspect of it. I think she is an intriguing artist to look at and listen to. We have so many witches this year, and she's sort of like the witch of the air. It just very sort of light and fluffy. And I like this. I like her. I find it really, really interesting that we keep going back to the sort of radio comparison. If you look at the sort of breakdown of that, it wasn't a national final, but the open internal selection that they had, they did release a breakdown of who voted for what. And there were five people on this jury. Three of them are folks who work with their music journalists or their radio radio programmers and radio execs. And then two, one is Kasia Moss, who represented Poland previously with Flashlight. I think that would have been 2017. And one is the head of OGAE Poland. And it should be noted that the folks who are focused on radio programming gave this score nines and tens. Kasia Moss blanked it, and the head of OGAE gave it 5 out of 10. I mean, this is ranking, not just, you know, rating. So I found it really, really interesting that the folks who are in charge of what is radio friendly pushed it really, you know, almost to the heights. And those who've actually been on the ground at Eurovision and kind of know the ins and outs of the contest and what works competitively didn't rate it as highly or rate it at all. So I'm seeing that kind of flow with the conversation that we're having here today, that it's a good song. It's a nice radio song. We enjoy this, but is it competitive? And that's kind of where I am. I like this. I like her, but how is it
one of those songs where it's like, does it belong here or does it belong on the radio?
And sometimes the answer is both. But I think that sometimes this might, because it's so light and sweet and airy, does it have enough impact? And that might be a question that's answered when we actually see the staging. But for now, it's sort of a
Croatia couldn't be happier to come afterwards.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Do you think she'll be on a tower, like a huge tower pecked by eagles or pushed off? Or there's a lot of, you know, movement in here for what they're going to do with her.
Just embed her into the tower.
No, I think she's going to barely change her costume. She's just going to be Saruman from the Two Towers.
Oh my God.
Going nuts. Absolutely. Yes. There's going to be orcs being created at her feet. Uh-huh. Fantastic.
Love it.
That'll be the magic bird bath.
Movie podcast. Sam?
Yeah, that's...
Can I also just note that the lyrics...
Do you mean like the table that they put the palantir in? Like, is that what you're talking about? The magic bird bath?
Yeah, and Galadriel goes like ape shit.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Nerds, the lot of you.
Can I just note that the repeated lyric, broken bodies scattered through my history, suggests that this gal has killed many, many people.
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily killed, maybe just, you know, maimed.
It has nothing to do with her.
She was there. That you know, she just
pressed. We don't know anything about these.
Sam, save us quick.
All right. Yep. If we're ready to roll on, we've got our next song coming up. Again, let's up the tempo a little bit and head over to Malta. Here's Sara Bonici with Loop. Derek, roll a clip. Oh my God, you got me on. All right, so that was a little snippet of Loop by Sara Bonici representing Malta. And you know how I said before that I tend to go absolutely ape when there's a junior Eurovision connection? We got a junior Eurovision connection here. She tried and failed to represent Malta at junior Eurovision in 2009 and 2010, but they liked her enough in 2010 to actually make her a backing dancer for the junior entry that year. She also tried her hand once she grew up a little bit at Malta's Eurovision national final back in 2022. Songwriters on this one include the songwriting team of Joy and Linnea Deb, who also wrote or co-wrote Heroes for Mons, Voices, Adrenalina, and earlier on in this own podcast, Unforgettable. This song will be opening up semifinal 2, where it'll be followed by Albania. So again, bit of a sawtooth there. So I believe, Derek, you're the one to start us off with Malta. What do you think about this one?
Oh my God, what a resume on those songwriters. Here's the thing. I'm going to maybe speak more broadly. I was watching some video breakdown of the running order once it was announced, and somebody in the comments pointed out that specific countries always go early if they're drawn first half because they have a relatively small population and or a relatively small viewership. So if you're a smallish country, you are kneecapped from the go because they're going to stick you in slot number 1 or 2 or 3 because they don't care if everyone stops watching after they see your show. Oh. And I was like, wow, that is cynical. But it's a business. I get that. And Malta feels like one of those countries that they're already struggling just to get in. And on top of that, they keep getting these bad running order spots. I don't think the song is groundbreaking again, but it's got a lot of energy. It's a lot of fun. When it comes on, I'm kind of bobbing my head and I'm listening to it and I'm enjoying it. I think it's doing the best it can, and it's being very straightforward. It's not like taking any big risks or anything. But they just don't have that support system in place, and I feel like people are gonna forget this song as the semi rolls on, and they're not gonna think to vote for it. That's not a whole lot to say about it beyond that. I mean, it's just a very straightforward pop song. And it's well done, and it's a lot of fun, and that's kind of it. And I don't know if that's enough this year, especially from Malta. But
it's absolutely not enough. Do you know what? At the national final, at Malta's national final, it may as well have been her. And every other entry was Eiffel 65 movie star. It was bizarre. It was utterly... Oh,
that reference.
Like a movie star. It was bizarre. So, okay, this was the only option. Now, I will say, I got it. It's literally exactly like what you've just said. It is just what it is. It's just like a slice of pop. She's out there dipping and dropping and crapping, whatever. When it was revamped, I don't know, there's something about this that just makes you smile. I feel like you can put it in a group. I don't know, maybe this is just my own personal taste, but like you can put Spain in the same kind of bucket where it's, I don't want to miss this when it comes on. It just makes me smile. I find it kind of amusing, kind of charming. Am I going to vote for it? Of course not. I'm not picking up the phone for that. But she, I will say, I think her choreography is actually good. She's a really good dancer. And I think she is going to try and sell the hell out of this. I think she will do it because we've seen her do it already. There's one bit in particular where a bunch of dancers grab her legs and her arms and flip her around. So she's like completely, you know, she's not jumping into a somersault. It's like she's just completely static and they flip her around. And to me, that's such a novelty. I really hope she does it because as a show opener, I think it's an excellent choice. And I think there is a tiny, tiny bit of wiggle room for her to qualify if maybe, I don't know, Austria's ends up being a bit flat, or there's a couple of kind of, you know, more, it doesn't live up to what we're all thinking for in terms of like the girl bops. But I like this. I just love it. I'm in the kitchen doing the moves because she does this weird chicken bit in the middle. I just like it. It just makes me smile. I'm so glad that it's there.
Eric?
If I had to sum this up in one word, it would be... It is an issue in terms of qualifying and so forth that Malta has no friends, which is mean to say, but it's just also kind of true compared to how some of these other countries just excel or have a bit of a boost because of neighbors and things like that. That's just the way it is. Malta's neighbors are water and additional water, and they don't compete. So this song just, it's not bad. It just, it feels very, very unoriginal. It feels a bit like slow-mo on Wish or something like that. I saw it pointed out that some bits of the choreo are nearly identical to what slow-mo was like on stage in Furt. And that was at the national. Yeah. It could change, but it just, it feels derivative to me. I don't dislike it really, but it's not doing anything new. It's not pushing any envelope of any size or color, and low podcast. And I don't know, some of the lyric stuff where the sort of like half singing, I'm not that it, maybe I actually full on don't like it. Actually, now that I'm kind of saying some of this stuff out loud, not into it. Not
you mean to say that you don't in fact have it on loop?
No.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
I do not have it on loop. Sam, go ahead. That's what I got.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't really have a ton constructive to say about this. This is straightforward. Yeah.
Destructive. Destroy. You speak to destroy.
You guys know me too well. I'm too freaking nice. I have to stop it. No, this is fine. This is exactly what you expect it to be. It is a sunny piece of 3 minutes of danceable pop that is a fine opener for a show in terms of trying to get the heart rates up and trying to get people engaged. Like kind of like what I said for Sweden earlier on in the show. It's not breaking any new ground. It's not innovative. It's not particularly risky, except for, again, when she's being grabbed by the ankles and being thrown around. Which, again, if they keep that move in, awesome. And put that in the reprise, and that'll be you know, certainly something memorable. This is fine for what it is, but what it is isn't enough anymore. If this were Eurovision 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where a lot of these dance pop songs would kind of rise up a little bit more in the scoreboard, I would have a bit more faith in it. But it's just, it's fine, but it's not enough. And it's a shame because I want to see Malta succeed. That being said, like, put this on in any beach resort anywhere in the Mediterranean this summer and you will have people enjoying it. Like, it's not a bad song. It's just not enough. Danny, take it.
I think I'm kinder to this song than you guys are, but I'm not exactly going to defend it. I do think that this song is basically just reheated slow-mo, but not microwaved. I'll say we popped it in the toaster oven. I'll say, like, we put it in the oven. We made an effort. We put it in a glass dish.
The Swedish staging?
Yes. I'm going to say we did our best job to create sort of like, we saw what slow-mo was doing, but it's a little bit too uncannily close. It's a little bit too obvious that they're like, the metaphor is the same. It's not like watch me on slow-mo is like, you got me on loop. It's the same. It's
replay, the same replay, thing. Replay. Yeah.
Damn metaphor. It's the same thing. Like, I feel like it's so obvious. Malta, God, they're so close. Like, if Malta just had better friends, it would be a 50-50 shot them getting through any year. They should have gotten through last year, no question. I just don't know what's going on. This song isn't awful, but just knowing what came before it, it's like, it is a little bit derivative. She does it well, she dances it well, but God, I wish it was just fresher.
We could have had Matt Black's Banana.
No, we couldn't.
No, I mean, like, just, I mean, this
we
is
could not have
that. No, we could. That not. Was awful.
I'm like, this is this is Malitha compared to that. Yeah,
people got really into that for some reason. I'm here to tell you, that was terrible. And if you liked it, please get the help you need.
It's a genuine risk they were going to send that too.
Oh, it could have been topic blah blah blah. Of course, we can't forget that.
Gratitude.
I want to say one more thing, just kind of going off. Please. So you mentioned the songwriting team on this has written, you know, winners for Sweden. Last year, Cyprus also had a complete Swedish team write their music and produce everything. And I'm not going to harp on this too much, but countries, it doesn't work unless you're Sweden. You can't do that. It just, I understand they're a good pedigree, but for whatever reason, they're not sending their best.
They're not going to send their A material to non-Swedish countries too. Like you can hire them and they'll just take something that they had that they've been sitting on for years. It hasn't gotten released. And usually when that happens, there's a reason it hasn't been.
And I wish countries would stop doing that. Like, you must have a pool of talent, or maybe even in another country that you can draw from. But the idea that if we hire Swedes, we're going to do well, that just hasn't borne out, at least not anymore.
Are we ready to move on to our last song of the show then? I'll take that deafening silence as sure, Sam, do whatever the hell you want. All right, fine. We're a movie podcast.
Serbia again.
Hey, why not? All right, so our last song of this episode, let's talk about Belgium. This is Before the Party's Over by Musti. Derek, play a clip.
Gladly.
One more drink and I'll be fine. You're the living proof. Are you still playing the game?
All right, that was a little bitty segment of Before the Party's Over by Musti, representing Belgium. He was one of the first acts to be announced for this year's show, but one of the last songs to be... No, it wasn't one of the last songs. It was sort of in the middle of the pack there in terms of timing. Thomas Michael Mustin is his first name, 33 years old, from Brussels. He's an actor, singer, currently a judge on Drag Race in Belgium, Drag Race Belgique. He's released 2 full studio albums, 3 EPs so far, you know how Belgium kind of goes back and forth, whether they are run by the Walloon or the Flemish broadcaster. This is a Walloon broadcaster year, so French language broadcaster is taking the wheel this year. Musti will be in the second semifinal, sandwiched in between Georgia and technically Italy, and then Estonia. So Italy, it being a non-competitive song, Estonia being the next competitive song after Belgium. So this is a weird dynamic. All right, Olympia, last song, but you get the reins on this one. What do you think about Before the Party's Over?
Do you know, I daren't speak on this one. I wonder if how this is going to go from here on out. Last time I went first, it didn't go very well for me. Do you know what I feel about Belgium? I feel like Belgium is a country. I think you can kind of conceivably put Portugal in the same discussion, where they send very grown-up songs. I feel like they send very adult songs.
I can agree with that for sure.
They send songs really worthy of merit, but maybe because I am just a man child, I don't know, this doesn't do for me what I want it to do. I think that the intention and the kind of the artistic intention, the artistic integrity, the production, I think we're going to get an absolute show if the music video is anything to go by. I think the staging is really going to kind of elevate this. I just don't really want to listen to it that much. So I find it slightly dirgy. I don't know. I think in the live, when we see a live and when we know how this is going to play out, maybe my mind will be changed. I just think the kind of final act where it's really kind of ramped up is, I mean, maybe this is just very kind of simplistic, but I just find it a bit repetitive. It doesn't really do much for me. I think there are artists this year doing things in a similar vein that are doing something more immediate or that has a bit more bite to it. So I don't love it. Like, I don't hate it when it's on. I will sing along to it. I just want there to be a little more variation in the end. And yeah, I don't know. I think there's certain songs like, I don't know what Gustav did last year. Oh, it's also Belgium. When I never liked that song, but seeing, like, being there and experiencing that and seeing it live, I was like, oh, okay, now I'm kind of more tapped into it. So I'm wondering if maybe it will be a little bit like that. I just need to kind of see the whole thing and then I'll kind of get it. But as of right now, I don't know, it doesn't do much for me, although I'm pretty sure it's an easy qualify.
Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, this isn't going to go well for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing that this is your last, this is the last thing that we need you for, because we can pull Eric, do you have the trapdoor lever ready?
Yes.
Stop this.
I'm sorry. I couldn't disagree more. I predicted this, like, when we had 2/3 of the field, what's going to win? And I think, like, gun to my head, this was my answer a few weeks ago. I'm not as sure about that as I was a few weeks ago, but I really think that it's going to be up there. I think we talk a lot about, I think about, like, the Eurovision parties we have here locally, where our normie friends who don't do Eurovision podcasts come over and listen to the songs. And I feel like a recurring comment we get in those sometimes is like, okay, it builds up, but there's no, like, big payoff. And I think that that's a fair criticism of a lot of songs. That is not the case with this. This has a build, and it has a, when he says the thing, he said the thing from the name of the song, the first time of about 400 times at the end, that first before the party's over, that moment, that payoff is so huge. It's an emotional release like we don't get in pop music all that much. That moment blows me away every single time I hear it. Obviously, that has to translate to, you know, on stage, and the movements he does in the video are kind of weird and artsy. The whole thing is kind of high art, high fashion, and there are probably some countries that are going to be like, that's weird. I don't know, but oh my goodness, the way this song builds and has that payoff is just sublimely executed. I think this is a definite potential winner, especially if we have a case where, like, there's a big split between jury and televote, because I think this is going to do just fine in both. And I think if he can command a crowd the way that it appears that he can. Is he in Madrid for the, like, are we gonna, we're recording this the day of the big Madrid party where we're gonna see some of this stuff?
I'm not sure, but I'm almost certainly he's probably in Amsterdam.
Okay, we'll get a tease of that potentially.
It's only, you know, it's like a 5-minute walk.
That's fair. Yeah. Good year for the Low Countries having artists standing in front of a bunch of microphones in their videos. We really, really good year for that specifically.
What a niche!
It's about time that big microphone got its time.
It could be sight. It could be France too. We can't exactly see what's behind Sliman.
Well, if he's in front of a bunch of microphones, he's standing very far away from them also. So yeah, I think that's about what I got. This is a triumph. It's going to do very well, and personally I just really love it. I think that payoff is perfection. Sam?
Yeah, yeah, my feelings on it aren't too dissimilar. the first minute and a half, 2 minutes of it, I was listening to it. I'm like, all right, this is really beautiful. This is nice. I'm getting kind of arcadey vibes from it, in that sort of kind of straightforward, but occasional, like into the high register that are really quite pretty. But then that last minute or so kick in and it's like, okay, this is a different gear. And it's really, I found it really engaging and like an emotional release that felt almost primal in a way that, like primal in the vocals, but also restrained when it came to the instrumentation. I thought it was really engaging and it sucked me in. Will people be that engaged after those first 2 minutes to stick with it and say, all right, we got something going on here? So that's still to tell. What I can't wait to see is how Musti stages this. And I'm really curious to see what he's going to wear, because we know that this is an artist who's coming in with a point of view and an aesthetic. Like you don't make somebody a recurring judge on a drag race franchise and have them just wear a plain black suit, you know, a white t-shirt and jeans. Like that's not going to happen. So something, there's going to be an interesting visual point of view with this, and I'm really excited to see. Do I have like my absolute, like, am I sure this is going to win? No, not at all. There are, it's in a pack of probably about 5 or 6 songs that I think could do it. There are just a couple of ifs, you know, where is this going to be in running order in the final, which I do think it would qualify. I'd be shocked if it doesn't. There's a lot to play with here, and I'm really intrigued to see how this will go. Danny?
The music video for this song answers a lot of questions that I've had for a really long time. Like, what if Rocky Horror wore a burlap sack? Or what if Andre the Giant was a twunk? Many others, but I'm glad that Musti is here to answer those questions for me. This song is monumental. I can't agree enough about the fact that this song builds for about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, by sort of faking you out with what you thought was the chorus. It goes like verse, chorus. But then at about 2:15, once we get before the Party of Story is over, you realize that like the other, those weren't choruses at all. Those were like little pre-choruses. We threw you for a loop. And now we have a man who's screaming the chorus here. And it goes for like, it goes for a solid 4 repeats. And just when you think the song is then going to start like doing its little like 10-second fade out, you get another one of them. And he's still at a 10, and it feels so earned and so perfect. The only thing I'm going to add here big, other than mentioning that this is easily my top at this moment right now, that this is easily my favorite song of the year right now.
Olympia, out of curiosity, do you and Nova have a largely differing view on this song, or are you both?
Oh, I'll bet.
She is obsessed with this. She plays this all the
time. Because
Nova
has my opinions, which are the correct opinions.
There's the gay opinions, by the way. Let's just rewind. Well, it's getting a bit fruity over there. Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like it, because she likes it.
God.
I mean, maybe this has all just been, you know, we've been lying to you this entire time.
Oop. I've got it.
All right.
It's the fact that, I'm sorry to interrupt this.
No.
Before we get to
please.
Derek, we should just move on to Derek. It is that his voice is so suited for this sort of thing. He's gifted with a specific timbre of voice that allows us to believe without doubt that he is feeling these emotions in a way that can only bring to my mind the way that Latvia's is not.
Oh,
like we can only hear the idea that like, oh, but Latvia's, I don't know. He does not have the correct sound to his voice, which is a judgmental and an unchangeable sort of criticism that you can inflict upon someone. But I just have to say, Musti is blessed with a specific timbre and power of voice that suits itself to this kind of song extremely well.
Derek, take it.
I love how we're really getting into the whole could this win conversation.
And for I know me, we're going to get more this should win. It's just that it could win. I just have
it could win. Yeah,
I don't have real faith in it.
And I know next episode we're talking about Croatia, so that's going to be a whole other thing. And I'm going to save most of this for our wrap up episode. But I'm of two minds of the winner right now, just because of the number of female artists in this year. I feel like it's going to be a non-female artist who wins. But at the same time, if I had to pick a winner right now, I'm kind of leaning on Italy. So there's that. Go figure. That said, I think this is absolutely a brilliant song. And there's a caveat here I'm going to get to, but here it goes. The construction of the music and the lyrics, I think, is just so above and beyond everything else. I love the fact that that backing choral arrangement.
Ooh, the way the layers slowly,
yeah, it layers
slowly and it, add.
It just builds and builds throughout. The build up through the entire thing is just so incredible. Like, it starts out small and just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's exactly what you should be doing at this contest. Like, you need that huge build up and that final payoff. But the way the chorus says before the party's over early on, he doesn't say it.
Yes, he doesn't.
And it cues him up to say it at the end. And he's just like screaming it. And it's so cathartic. I love the message of this idea that, you know, it talks about, are the kids all right? I'm at the party. I got to do these things before it's too late. And you feel that anxiety and that tension. And I think it's just really compelling. This song is right in my wheelhouse as the dark Belgian pop music that we've had.
Yeah, that's a very specific wheelhouse, but it is very, very Derek. Yeah.
Absolutely. Dark Belgian face down in trap mode.
I'm just thinking, like, all the right into it. I mean, even since I really got into this in 2015, I feel like, oh yeah, this is the kind of stuff that they said, and I love it every time, even if the rest of the world doesn't.
You guys liked Hooverphonic, right?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I always liked
Hooverphonic. Solidly, yeah.
That explains a lot here.
The 2020 song more than the 2021 song, but they're both
I prefer 2021. Oh,
I agree. Wrong Place was
I'm a bigger fan right of songs that don't win.
Like Adrenaline.
Oh, there's plenty of those.
Eurovision hipster ass.
like Adrenaline. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of agree that this leaves me feeling a little cold, and I don't know why. There's something about it that prevents me from fully committing. And I listen to it over and over again. I really like it. I don't know what it needs to do.
I know what it is, Derek.
To convince
me. Because you and I had the same opinion on Shum, where we were with a 4.5 minute cut of this song, then had to be trimmed down to 3 minutes. Can you imagine what this song would be like with 4 minutes?
Oh, I don't think it. I don't think it needs another minute.
I'll take it, though.
I think it could take another minute.
Well, think it could have a little more air at the beginning and maybe a little bit of air between the choruses. But it's like, you know, expand this to 3:30 is all it needs, you know.
That would be incredible. I do think, like Shum, this could really be elevated live. And then maybe it'll click for me. Because I wasn't really on board for Shum. And then I saw it live and I'm like, oh, absolutely, this song.
All hail the dear God.
So could I see this winning? Absolutely. I'm a little concerned, though, because we've had other really dark Belgian pop songs not do terribly well. Matter of time. But I think the staging line was kind of a
mess. I think this lacks a certain amount of joy that people want to kind of put their money behind. And I think that Switzerland are going to take the votes that this would receive.
That's certainly true.
So I personally can't see it winning. Top 10 possibly, but I can't see it.
This song could come top 3 if it had a good position in the final. I'm going to say that.
Well, I'll put this out there. It's called Before the Party's Over. Have it close the final.
They end it. Yeah, I was just gonna say
but it's even worse off.
Maybe.
I love that. Don't mean you like this. Do not mean you like this.
It climaxes.
If it's really a showstopper, let it stop the show.
It climaxes with a literal call to action. It climaxes with like with no like actual thing happening. It's all mental. It's all like it's all inward. And it's like God, that's the way that really great songs are.
Olympia, I think you made a good point about joy. That like joy, you know, that is something people look for. Danny cracked the code earlier this year when he talked about that people will vote for something that feels good to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Croatia.
Does it feel good to vote for this?
Did it feel good to vote for 1944? Did it feel good?
Yes. I would say it felt good. It felt like you were rewarding a certain kind of thing when you were voting.
And
for
also giving a middle finger to Sergei Lazarev.
Well, that's true. But did it feel good to vote for Arcade? And I feel like that was more melancholy than this.
I don't think there was a lot of sociopolitical tension in 2019. Or was it 2019? Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
yeah, that was.
Yeah, it was.
To really compare it to, you know.
It felt good to vote for Tamara Tedeschka.
I think that felt
great.
Pictures of her kids and,
and that heinous plucky little teal Macedonia dress.
I feel great voting for this.
It didn't work for her. She was wearing a jewel tone when she's so obviously a winter. It just felt wrong.
That's Jesus what everyone Christ was saying in households across Europe.
How very dare she?
I'm not voting for that mess.
She made no one proud.
Oh.
Oof.
Oh, just the tail.
All right. Bring our cap. Bring us to the cap here.
Yes, all right. Yes, so yes. let's end this with our traditional question. We'll go around. What was everybody's least favorite? And then we'll follow it up with everybody's favorite, ending on a high note. Olympia, let's start off with you. What's the one that you're going to kick in the kidneys first?
Oh, don't. That, do you know, it is so difficult this year talking about any of this because it is... Oh, okay. Well, I feel the one that I want to listen to the least is Doomsday Blue, but then I probably want it to qualify the most. So that one, I don't know. My favorite would be Serbia, I think, out of that bunch easily. Although I will just throw a little compliment towards Malta because I like dancing to that song in the bathroom.
And I feel like I have seen clips of Loop pop up on your YouTube channel as cutaways.
Oh, not in a good way, though. No, but it's whenever Nova says poop, I then put it in, which is poop. Yeah, but it just brings me joy. She brings me such joy. I love her.
And
there, love
that goes for
it.
Something. That stands for something. Eric, what about you?
Least favorite?
Do them both.
Okay. Least favorite. This will be a good transition. Malta. poop. And favorite's Belgium. Just come on. Absolute. I don't know that it's my favorite, but I think I'm comfortable saying it's the best song in the contest.
My least favorite from this week, I'm going to have to give to Sweden just because it's forgettable. I
no, it's happened.
It is forgettable.
It's a thing. Yeah. It finally happened.
Derek is so angry. Did someone in IKEA shortchange you to have this opinion?
Well, you know what? My Billy bookcase fell over.
He knows what the Skarsgårds did.
Oh. And my favorite for this week, I'm going to have to give it to Belgium, although I admire the artistry in Serbia and I love the trajectory from Ireland. Danny, what about you?
Least favorite is actually a good way to put it because I don't, in the end, hate it. It's definitely not most hated. It's just least favorite. I'll say Malta as well. And then for favorite, it's Belgium. I would love to go to the biggest house in Bruges to next year.
By the way, if it does win, 12 Antwerp, points from Mini Europe is happening.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
We're sending the whole team. It's happening.
Followed by 12 pints from Europe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
God, we know exactly where to go.
Anyway, Derek, what about you?
How many people are going to die from this, from alcohol poisoning?
Whatever.
Jesus, 12 pints.
Just small
your
beers.
Body can hold that much liquid.
It must be one sitting.
It's amongst us.
I feel like my choices should be obvious here. At least favorite Sweden. Mm-hmm. I could do without this kind of music ever again.
Yes. And
favorite, obviously, Belgium. I think... Maybe not my favorite, but it's just the most artistically accomplished song, I think, in the contest, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Derek, if you saw Ingmar Bergman, would you punch him in the face?
I don't know, we all would, surely.
Mm. I mean, I have to dig him up first, wouldn't I?
I'd go to that island and I would piss on his grave.
Wow.
I've probably seen like half a dozen Ingmar Bergman films. I don't know.
Well, on that note, everybody.
Half a dozen awesome movie podcast. Sam, hit him with the social.
Oh my God. Again, let us know what you think. How completely far off the mark are we? 1-2 points USA on most of the social medias out there. 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you just want to message us directly. Olympia, how can people find you and your other half on the socials if people want to know more about what you do and your points of view
I would imagine after that, nobody's going to want to know.
Nobody in Belgium, anyway.
No, absolutely nobody. And also the Netherlands, apparently I'm never invited there again. We're Novympia. You can find us on YouTube, Novympia. We're often doing cutaways of Marlena Ehrman, for example, doing opera and then shoving an apple in her wide open gob. So if you want to see more content like that, then head over there. That's probably the best place to find us.
Well, we love having you on the show year after year. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and
thank
hanging
you
out
for
with
having
our
me,
little
guys.
Band of weirdos. We love you. We appreciate
thank you so much.
Thank you. I guess stay tuned, you at home, for our next episode, which will feature the other half of this duo and see what kind of gossip that we can get out of Nova about you. So I'm sure it's fine. We'll figure it out. Anyway, again, everybody at home.
Read off all of the prescription labels in your medicine cabinet.
There we go. Well, until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny. And I have been a Swedish hamburger. Thank you.
Ooh.
Oh, delicious.
We thank you for your service.
And America.
Stop listening now. I meant Poland. Poland's my favorite tarot card. I've played Poland face down in attack mode.
You ever had your tarot cards done before?
Yeah. I got upside down Poland and the devil.
Yeah.
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Yeah, Blue Eyes White Dragon was there. Ace of Spades. Mm-hmm. The cover art for Ace of Spades. all right, let's come back in.